Welcome to the Full Hip Extension Podcast in the new year, in the cloudy, snowy, sunny, doesn't know what to do mountain hideout. I'm Colin Frazier and joined, as always, with my gleeful co-host, Ray Cooney.
Yeah, buddy. What does gleeful mean?
Just happy. Yeah, just a happy guy.
I like it.
Yeah. Sorry. Apologize. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've had a podcast out.
It's my fault.
It's, you know, it's the holidays, man. You just gotta be used to it. But we are going to get back into it. We're here in the new year, same studio. We got some new digs in the studio. It's a new recording device, so hopefully our sound even sounds better. And we're just going to get right into it. So kind of recap. This is episode number 7. It's pretty. I didn't even think we would get to number 7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think so.
We're still funny at 7, man. I think 700 is just right around the corner.
If 1 is good, 100 have to be great, right?
It's kind of like s'mores.
Yeah, there you go.
Our podcast, like s'mores.
Oh, yeah.
So, new year, New Year's resolutions. What do you think about those?
You know, I've been asking people their New Year's resolutions, and apparently there's just a lot of, like, resentment towards New Year's resolutions.
I've heard this.
I don't quite understand why. Mm-mm. Like, I mean, maybe New Year's goals or just goal would be a better word that wouldn't, I don't know, invoke so much like anger.
It's like a trigger word.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, those are stupid. I'm not doing those. It's like, oh, well, okay. Well, let's call them goals.
Yeah.
I think they're great. I mean, you know, call it whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's a bad idea to be like, you know what? I kicked ass in 2017, but I didn't do this quite as well.
Yeah.
Like, I should be better at doing this. And it doesn't have to be something big either. It can be like, I'm going to try to, like, take 5 seconds and appreciate the beautiful scenery that we have, like, outside.
Yeah.
Every day. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It can be something pretty simple.
I agree. And it's also one of those things that, yeah, I felt a lot of, I don't know if it was maybe anger towards it, but I definitely felt a lot of like, there's some contentious views over New Year's resolutions. I just always assumed that they're a pretty good thing. You know, like I dig a good New Year's resolution, good fresh New Year's resolution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, we run a CrossFit gym.
It's kind of like a big deal for us.
Like, yeah, goals are a really big deal for us. So for anybody out there who has the goal of getting in better shape, maybe aesthetically, to look better, I feel like that's probably always at the top of anybody's list.
It's got to be number one, I'd say, on most people's lists.
Right. Like Johnny Wellborn has a great quote, and I love it. And of course, we quote this guy all the time. But all the machines and praying in the world will not build a physique like the one crafted from lifting free weights over 85% of your one rep max. John Wellborn.
That is a very succinct way on how to get jacked.
Right. So, like, but so many people out there are like, okay, cool. I want to lose some weight and I want to look good. I'm going to sit on the rower for an hour, and then I'm going to do 500 double unders. It's not, you know, while that will definitely help.
It'll do something.
Some calories, yeah. You know what I mean? It's better than sitting on the couch and watching football. It's nothing compared to lifting free weights over 85% of the one rep max. So days in here that we're designed to go heavy, you need to be going heavy, because not every day in here we go heavy, right?
No.
So on the days that the workout is designed to have some heavy weights, you should be doing something heavy.
Oh, yeah. And it should be one of those things that, you know, once you start getting accustomed to lifting heavier weights and you start understanding your percentages of what is actually a heavy weight for you, I think that's a big thing. Is a lot of people, they're struggling with a certain amount of weight, or they're struggling with doing the rep perfectly or the movement perfectly. And they just assume that forever that amount of weight is going to be forever challenging. Like, okay, this 75 pounds snatch will always be tough, so I'm just never going to go above that.
Right.
And not having that understanding or idea of where your body can eventually get to, and like taking those old ideas of what was heavy and just listening to not only your body but your coaches on how to get to and utilize 85% or whatever that may be, you know, heavy weight when it's time to go that heavy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we get pretty wrapped up on technique too, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Making sure you do it right. But there's always the option too of like moving to, you know, a foundational movement. So maybe yeah. if like your, maybe if your squat clean isn't quite on, you know, the technique isn't dialed in enough to lift 85% of your mm-hmm. rep max to lift something heavy. Like, I feel like we do a good job being like, all right, cool, let's front squat today.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I want to work on my clean. It's like, well, we can work on our clean, but like,
we have another opportunity.
We, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. where do you want it? And then, and maybe your goal is not to get stronger and not to get, you know, a better physique. Maybe it is just to get a better squat clean.
Could be.
And then in that case, sure, go ahead.
Yeah,
go,
but I also think at, then at that point, we have a different, like, avenues to get you better at your squat clean. Like,
absolutely.
You know, or you know, even if you're at another facility, you're doing something. Save you're getting better at squat clean time for the I mean, whenever we're doing our Olympic lifting class, like, for me, I'm like, guys, this is time to focus. This is, we're not getting our heart rates high. We're lifting.
Right.
And then when it's time to put the pedal down and let's move some weight around, boom. Mm-hmm. Now absolutely. We can go down to a foundational movement if we need something different, right. You know?
And since we're breaking it down, if you were to do front squats in that workout instead and you're doing heavy front squats, a stronger front squat is going to help you with your clean anyways.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah. It'll help you with everything.
The foundational
movement.
Driving
movements, a vehicle.
But. Yeah. Never going to hinder or not help the movement that's more advanced above it.
Absolutely.
It's always going to, I mean, fuck, air squats would make
absolutely.
It make you better.
Right.
So, yeah, goals for me are New Year's resolutions. I don't have a problem with them. I really dig them. My big one for me this year is to get better at just enjoying the workouts, even when they're not in my wheelhouse. That is my big one.
That's
for me.
That's a great one. That is a great New Year's resolution.
I'm such a fair weather fan for myself sometimes. Like, I will be so stoked when there's a rowing and deadlift workout. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And I'll, right. it will, like, come through in all the things I do.
Right.
The way I'm prepping for it, the way I'm, like, psyching my friends around me up. I'm like, dude, you're going to do great. I want other people to, like, be at their top performance. So when we go head-to-head or whatever, I feel like I'm getting the most out of everything. When there's a workout that is not in my wheelhouse that I do not feel like I'm very competent at, I'm the exact opposite.
And
I
was kind of rolling.
Just kind of rolling. Just kind of like, yeah, well, hope everyone sucks dick too. You know, like, I just don't enjoy. And I need to start getting way better being like, hey, man, I'm just going to get whatever I can get out of this. So that's my big New Year's resolution.
I think that's
in terms
great,
of training.
That's a great New Year's resolution. Sweet. All right, cool. Goals. Set them. Work on them. Okay. Ask your coaches. Ask your friends for advice. And make sure everything you're doing is about those goals. Right. So, and understand what it is that your coaches are prescribing you.
Right.
Right. So if you have a goal of muscle ups and you get prescribed, you know, jumping chest bar pull ups and you're not happy with that because you wanted to go strict pull ups today really slowly, it's like, well, maybe understand why you're getting scaled that for that day.
Yeah. Understand the bigger picture. Like, we're in it for your goals to, like, that's our objective.
I want you to hit those goals.
Yeah. And when we used to have a class, and we still do have a class here, but we used to run it regularly, and now it's kind of a little on hiatus. But, and we always used to tell people, hey, don't think about the workouts themselves. Like, don't look at all the movements and all the little pieces in there. Just think of what do I want to do? Do I want to rails burped into the microphone? Do I want to have, like, more power, more strength, or more power, more endurance, or more mobility?
Right.
And that's all you had to do is just think about those pathways, and then what was designed underneath it was what was going to help you get there.
Right.
And that's kind of the idea, is like, when you come in here and you let your coaches know wherever you're at, you let them know your goals, they're going to hopefully be programming the perfect path to get there and not just like, oh, I'm just going to make you do this because I want you to.
Right.
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 So I think that's a really good thing too. If you guys are listening to this and you have access to coaching or you have access to us, just let your coaches know your in-gym goals. Come up to us and give us insight, and that helps us help you more too.
Right. Especially with CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee we've had that same goal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I've had that goal, and so I can steer you in the right direction on how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, nothing wrong with goals, man. All right. So... question.
Question of the day.
Question of the day. All right. What is your most embarrassing or extreme story or experience of getting thrown out of a place or bar or something like that?
You want to take the lead on this one?
I'll take the lead on that.
All right. Let's
okay.
do it.
Let's so. Do it. The coach Ray, you guys know, definitely had a had a different past back in the day.
We all have.
Yeah, when I was in the military, I was somewhat rambunctious. We were at a local bar, me and three of my buddies, in Hinesville, Georgia, and one of the guys that was with us had way too much to drink and was just acting crazy. So there's this biker gang, the Wingmen. Was the biker gang. The Wingmen of Long County was their chapter. They weren't like an outlaw motorcycle gang or anything serious like that, but they were just a biker gang.
So how do you, like, at what point in time are you guys like, hey, we're a biker gang, and then somebody like, hey, let's be an outlaw biker gang? Or do you just start committing crimes?
Well, I think you make a commitment to living out,
the
to
your own life,
to your own laws.
See, I feel like I have a commitment to living life by my own laws. My laws just happen to include speed limits and not stealing things. So, like, I feel like I already do that, but I'm not an outlaw biker gang.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly.
I just want to know when they make the switch. We're like, dude, we just enjoy our bikes. Nah, man, let's really become outlaws.
I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they're like, you know what? We're going to be one percenters, and we're going – in order to have that claim, we need to break the law.
It's true. That is a 1% lifestyle, though. I'm an outlaw biker.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what law that is. Like, maybe they just constantly break the speed limit. Be like, yeah.
There's constant speeding.
We're 1%ers.
Yeah, dude. We don't pay any of that.
However, if any 1%ers are out there listening, I have no problem with whatever it is that you're doing.
Don't let us know about anything. Just keep doing your thing, man.
Right.
You're a good man. Moving on.
So the Wingmen of Long County. So this guy was over there. His name is Langadoc. That was this kid's name.
What?
We're outside of the bar.
What? That was his name?
That was his name. His name is Langadoc.
Was he... Was...
What?
Where...
It was his last name.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was... No. His first name was Lang, and then, like, Adoc was his last name. Okay. No. Okay. Is he from, like, Nebraska?
I can't remember where he's from.
Was it? I mean...
Yeah.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
And, good old Langadoc.
So Langadoc goes over there, and we see him talking to these bikers, and we're like, oh, man, what is he doing? So he comes back over to us and loudly screams, yep, just like I thought, a bunch of posers. And we're like, ah, great.
Jesus.
So their lead guy or whatever they had comes up, and he's like, what did you say? And this guy he looked like he was carved out of the side of a mountain. I was like, great. And so we're like, man, he's drunk. He's an idiot. We apologize. And the guy was really cool. He was like, oh, yeah, man, I get it. Whatever. He's acting like an idiot. It's like, just keep him away from us. We're like, all right, cool, we'll do. Mind you, there was about 15 of them, and there was like four of us. Great odds. And so anyways, to make a long story short, because we got a lot to talk about today, the night goes on of more antagonizing this biker gang, mainly by Langadoc. So at one point, we're inside, and Langadoc goes outside to smoke a cigarette. Well, half the biker gang block our exit out of the bar, and the other half go outside, and we saw it. We're like, oh, shit, they're gonna jump them. So we push through this biker gang. We go outside, and sure enough, they're about to get after Langadoc. And so we stop it, and we circle up around Langadoc again, four of us on 15. But these guys were actually pretty cool. They weren't interested in fighting us. They were interested in just shutting this guy's mouth, which I totally understood. They had every right to. anyway, so we're like, look, if you want to take this guy one-on-one and get after it, like, that's fine. But you're not going to jump him. We're not going to let that happen. And he's like, just get him out of here, and this won't be a problem anymore. He just needs to leave because he won't stop bothering us.
Right.
So I got his squad leader to come and pick him up. All right. Well, while all of this was going on, like me talking to this guy, calling the squad leader, keeping Langadoc away from him, our other buddy, Roper, thought that it was about to go down, and he thought we were going to get jumped. So he texts a group of friends that we have across town at another bar and says, we're about to get jumped by a bunch of bikers. We need your help.
Sounds good.
So Languedoc gets picked up by a squad leader. The biker gang is totally cool.
Right.
They're like, have a great night, guys. And I'm like, cool, man. You have a great night as well.
Shaking hands.
Meanwhile, there's a herd of our friends coming over.
Are these all Army guys as well?
All Army guys. Oh, under the impression that something's about to go down. So we get inside the bar. Everything is cool. And in comes this group. And there's about, you know, there's like 10 of them. So the odds are now even. And my buddy Coocher, one of my good, good buddies from Texas.
Good Texas boy.
He is as wild as they get. Walks right into the bar, goes up to all the bikers, doesn't ask any questions about what's going on or anything like that. Goes, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, get outside.
Sounds like Texas.
Yep. No questions asked, just immediately calls out the entire biker gang. So at that point, it was like, all right. That's it. There's really no talking anymore. So we all go outside, and it's like 15 on 15 in the front of this parking lot. Again, we wouldn't be able to do this anywhere else other than Hinesville, Georgia. this kid Mathis, who's on our side. He was, I don't know, he's probably like 6'4", big guy, hops right in the middle of both groups, holds his hands out, and he's like, come on, guys, we don't have to do this. And as soon as he started talking, one of the biker gang just, boop, just clocked him right on the side, knocked him out, bam, and that was the start of it.
Oh, my God.
And then there was like, you know, whatever, 8 separate fights going on everywhere. And the parking lot was just a fucking madhouse.
Oh, my God.
When it was all said and done, I had blood coming out of one of my ears. Mathis was knocked out, ended up having to go to the hospital. This kid Murphy sent one of their guys to the hospital. And I think pretty seriously injured his like eye socket.
Shit.
And then everything else was just kind of regular squabbles. Cops came, biker gang took off, and the bar didn't really press any charges. They just kicked us out, and we got escorted home.
Damn. Yours is way more badass sounding than mine's going to be.
But mind you, this is Hinesville, Georgia. You know, we're not fighting Jax Teller and the Sons of Anarchy. You know what I mean? Like, this is...
Yeah, yeah.
We're fighting the wild hogs is
at least,
what we're
At least you're
going to
go out fighting.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and my roommate worked at the local hospital, and she, you know, heard all about the chaos when we got home that night because everybody went back to my house. And... the next day, one of the ambulance drivers showed up, and his face was like black and blue and mashed up. And
oh
she
God.
Was like, "What, my God? What happened to you?" He's like, "We got into a fight with a bunch of soldiers at this bar," and she's like, "Oh my God, that was my roommate." So,
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm not going to sound nearly as cool as you, but I'm still going to tell it because this is a damn good story. So, again, Coach Cullen, you guys know now, at one point in time, was much more rambunctious young lad. So, this was one of my really good friends at the time. Me and him worked together. We hung out a bunch. It is his bachelor party. So, he's getting married a week from this day, and he has this whole, like, day planned out as a bachelor party. We show up literally at 10 a.m. to his brother's house in this very posh part of Dallas. And so I'm kind of nervous. I'm meeting a bunch of his really good college buddies
right.
I've never met before.
Worlds collide. That's always kind of a messy situation.
And he's like, dude, you're going to get along with them so well. Don't worry. It's going to be a blast. Blah, 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 blah. So I get there, and I'm meeting all these people. And again, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we have like 15 things planned. Like the night is going to be going forever. and my buddy is big dude, 6'2", 6'3", 210, can drink, like drink. And so I'm like, I'm going to take it easy. I'm drinking water all like morning long. We're playing beer pong and stuff. And I'm like tossing beer into the, you know, like weeds and shit just to make sure. I'm like, I don't want to get crazy here for too long. And then we gets all of the groomsmen gifts, and we're doing all this fun stuff, blah, 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 blah. So about 2 o'clock rolls around, and we're hopping on a bus, a party bus, to take us like 45 minutes to the ballpark to watch a minor league baseball game play in a box, like with everything.
Minor league games are a lot of fun to go.
A lot of fun. And we had a really good park. It was just super far away. So Dallas is just like super spread out. It's a long drive up there. But the party bus, you can bring whatever you want onto it. So me and this guy who were just like, had just started striking up conversation as we got into the bachelor party, me and him are like getting on the bus together, and he grabs an entire bottle of scotch. He's like, me and you are going to have some scotch on the bus. And I was like, all right, you know, I'm on the bus now. I'll have some scotch. That's fine. I can have a few drinks. It's two now. I've kept it together. We're going to start like ramping this bad boy.
Right.
Mind you, everyone else has had some drinks. Like, everyone's feeling good. This guy who brought the bottle of scotch on is not sober. Okay. I'm the only like semi-sober person hopping on the bus. Me and him, 45-minute drive up to this ballpark. We proceed to drink that bottle of scotch in 45 minutes. What ends it off is a like full like 8-ounce glass or like plastic cup full of scotch between me and him. Okay, little do I know, he takes that glass of scotch and like sets it down and doesn't drink any of it. I drink all of it.
Fucking Blue Falcon.
Dude, just, he did, yes. Yeah. Blue Falcon, man, that son of a bitch. But, so the last real thing I remember is like stepping off the party bus, getting to the ballpark, and I was in full blown, like kicking doors down, slapping babies party mode. Like, I was like Chris Farley on cocaine. And so we get there. I remember walking in like vaguely to the place, and they had all this food. And I grab like 2 pieces of pizza, stack them on top of one another, take a bite, walk out to like watch the
football. Wait. There was pizza?
Oh, yeah.
At the bar?
This wasn't a bar. This was the like a box that they had for his bachelor party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Dude, this is at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I am blitzed, just absolutely three sheets to the wind. And so I'm sitting in there and trying to eat this pizza. I realize things are not going well. Like, the ship's going down. I am hammered, and I need to get rid of some of the scotches in my stomach. So I go to my friends, and I'm like, hey, bathroom. And they're like, oh, it's down the hall. I'm like, all right. So I find my way. Mind you, I kind of half remember all this at this point in time.
Right.
Find my way to the bathroom, start hugging the toilet, and it's just, bah! Oh, I mean, horrible. I hear, like, kids next to me, like, Dad, what's happening? Like, families are crying. Like, it is so bad. I'm just not getting any better. So I eventually, and this is at a ballpark, like pass out in the bathroom. Like, and the next thing,
minor league ballpark.
Minor league ballpark. So the next time I remember, off-duty firefighters are like busting down the door. And they're like, are you all right? I'm like, what is happening? And so they pick me up and they're like dragging me by like the arms back. And all I can remember is like 12B. They're like, where are you supposed to be? I'm like, 12B. Like, no, where are you? I'm like, 12B. And all I keep saying is 12B. That's the suite number. So they finally figure it out. They take me back to our box, and they're like, and my friends open it. My friends are all hammered, too. There's only one sober dude who's a guy who's been sick. He's had, like, diarrhea from Mexico for, like, weeks, and he is just feeling terrible. I didn't take care of all these guys. They're like, they're like, do you know who this guy is? And they're like, yes, I come in there. There's all the only reason I know this is because there's pictures of me later that can attest to this. I look like a transparent jellyfish. Like, I'm just barely alive. They like sit me in this chair, and apparently I get out of the chair and lay on the ground for a while. Anyway, it's not good. They're like, we got to get this dude out of here. He's really bumming out the party, like just laying on the ground there. So they put me in a cab me all the way back down 45 minutes to back to the place. Apparently the cab driver was like, this guy's belligerent. You need to like get him out of here. And so I go back to his brother's place. This is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, passing. So it gets better.
Did you get out of the cab yourself?
Dude, I don't remember. I just remember it's 2 a.m. I feel this wake up in a bed. I don't know. I was like, how did I get in this bed? And it's my buddies. They're back from the bars, shit-faced. Wake me up. We party for the rest of the night. But, yeah, that was the most embarrassing story. Like, the fire department just dragging, like, my limp body. Like, do you guys know this asshole who's been thrown up in the bathroom the past 20 minutes? But, yeah.
Oh, that is great.
It wasn't a good day. I mean, it was fun, but
those stories are fun though. You gotta have times like
gotta
that.
Gotta have a few times like right? that. Speaking of times like that, you just got back from vacation.
Yeah.
How was that, dude?
It was great, man.
How long has it been since you actually had a vacation?
A year to date almost.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, the beginning of February was the last vacation I had.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to Mexico, San Jose del Cabo.
Is that like where is that near?
So it's near Cabo San Lucas. It's at the bottom of the Baja Peninsula.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. That's awesome. We were kind of like smack dab between the Gulf of Mexico and the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, shit.
If my geography is correct. But, yeah, a lot of fun. Really, really built up place. I was surprised. Cause last time I was in Mexico, we went to Sayulita, which is kind of a small little beach town, and there's not much... I don't know what the proper term would be, but like, you know,
infrastructure
build,
yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Here there was parts where it looked like, you know, downtown Miami or
really,
oh yeah. Like it was nice. Really, really, really nice. And all the signs, like all the restaurants and all that were all like in English, which I thought was really weird.
That's everywhere these days, man.
That's just weird though. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously there were some that were just in Spanish, but it was like the restaurant was like the, you know, the San Jose Brewery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like...
El Brewero de San Jose.
Right. Like, but it was beautiful. And it was actually good to see it built up because, I mean, obviously their commerce is pretty good. They're making some money. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Their economy is doing well, at least in that part of Mexico anyways. So.
And you went out to NorCal Cabo San Lucas, which still confuses me.
Yeah, NorCal Cabo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was really cool. It was in like this little, it looked like an airplane hangar, but a quarter of the size of an airplane hangar. They probably stored like potatoes in there or something like that back in the day. It was really, really good. The coaches were great. You know, he's coaching in a second language and he's coaching in Spanish.
God, that's so tough.
His whole class is like drop-ins. So he doesn't know any athletes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they knew their shit. They coached well. He maintained his class. You know what I mean? Like, he had great control over his class.
So, if you're heading out to Cabo San Lucas, you recommend dropping in there?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
100%.
Sweet. It was a good experience.
Have good facilities? Sure. Like, any cool shit that we don't have here?
I mean, they had turf.
Dude, I love turf.
They did have turf. But other than that, no. They had half the space, half the equipment. They didn't have anything that we didn't have that we don't have other than turf.
They have an outdoor area to work out there, outdoors?
Not really. Mm. There was a, you know, we run outside, but they didn't have anything outdoors. I mean, you know, that humidity. So I didn't think the humidity was that bad. Everybody was complaining about the humidity, but I didn't think
you're
from
Florida,
bad.
Dude.
Right.
So it's the humidest place on earth.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad at all.
So but, what was the weather like when you guys were down there?
Perfect.
Like in the
70s? 75, 80 degrees.
Sunny.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Do you guys surf?
Yeah, we surfed. We surfed out in front of our place. We didn't really get to surf out in front of our place. We had to stand up paddleboard. And then, like, we caught some waves in the stand up paddleboard. Chris was a lot better at that than I was. I'm not a big stand up paddleboard
guy. Chris can surf?
He can stand up paddleboard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did pretty good at that. And then we, one day, me, and a couple other guys went out to this beach break, Cerritos,
okay,
which is right on the Pacific Ocean, about a mile north of, or I'm sorry, an hour north of Cabo. Big waves, big break, lots of surfers, really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you really bring your own surfboard? Did you rent one?
No. I mean, it's so expensive to travel with surfboards that you just rent one wherever you go. You know? And the surf shop down there, Costa Azul, is awesome. So if you like rent a board for the day or for 4 days or whatever, you can interchange it in and out. So if the waves are big or the waves are small, or you want to stand up or you want a
long
board, you can change whatever board out you want, which is really cool.
That is really cool
that they do that. So it was all beach break or beach bottom at this other place, Cerritos. So even though the waves are really big, it was, you know, whatever. There's pretty low risk to just getting throttled. I ripped some pretty decent waves there, caught quite a few good rides, got thrashed a little bit as well, as we all did. Cause it was funny. It'd be like consistent, like 4 to 6 foot, like kind of waves coming in, and then all of a sudden it would just be like, you know, double overhead, closed out, just smash right on top of you, like kook slam.
What is a kook slam?
You don't know kook slam?
Dude, I don't know anything about surfing.
Well, kook slam is an Instagram page, and if you don't know what kook slam is, you need to follow them and watch their videos because it's hilarious.
Somebody turned me on to one the other day. Was kids getting hurt? It was an Instagram kids, just kids getting hurt, and there's just one of this little girl, like her, she's probably 12, and her little brother's probably like 7, and they're having like a little fight, and he just like haymakers her right in the throat, and just you hear this thwap, and she's like, oh fuck, and just like gets caught right in the throat. Oh my god. Sorry, I'm watching a dude just get, I mean, imagine like Brian Urlacher hitting you from behind. You have no idea, a wave right in the back. Just like,
I mean, it's just a ton of funny videos like that. You know, just people doing stupid shit around the water.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Sorry. Seeing some.
Anyway, so yeah, Mexico was great. Damage. Surf was great, and then the surf out in front of our place, like I said, it was, you barely call it surf because it was so small.
You guys on the bay, or were you guys on?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Oh, yeah. But there was this little wave that broke, but it was all rocks underneath us, right? All rocks, and we called it the boneyard. So you'd catch a wave, and once you got past this certain point, so if you rode this wave longer than, I don't know, 50 meters or so, 100 meters or so, you then entered into this rocky area.
Yeah.
And there was no getting off your board. If you fell, if you lost the wave, if you come off your board,
it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
Shit.
It's going to hurt a lot. And you have to ride through that section for about 30 feet, and then it's clear again.
Back to sand?
Well, back to deep enough to where you could get off your board at least.
Yeah.
But no, that was like, you know, an inch below the surface of the water. So you're like skags or dragging on the rock and whatever. And
oh my god.
It was cool. We saw one guy get jacked up pretty good there. His eye was all bloody from landing on the rocks. And
people do that over coral, right, too? Like a lot of breaks are over coral?
Yeah. Coral, you know, reefs. But I mean, rock, coral, reef, you know,
all
what
sucks.
I mean, it's all kind of interchangeable. But
now, you correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't most wave breaks a certain, like, I don't know. I thought I heard this one time that, like, most wave breaks in the world are left-handed or right-handed or something like that?
I don't know.
No?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe. You know, so left or right.
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell that means.
So if you were facing the beach, right?
If you're on the wave.
If you're on the wave,
yeah.
Whatever direction it's going, is it going to your left or is it going to your right?
And so there are, like, in places, they always break the same direction.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. See, I had no idea about that. Somebody told me something like that. Like, most of them, they could have been totally bullshitting me. Most of them, Ray has to do burpees for having his cell phone on during the podcast. Most of them break some certain direction, but he could have been fucking pulling my leg.
Yeah, I mean, they do, but I don't know what direction that would be. I figured left and right, everything would be 50-50, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mexico is great. Coming back to altitude, it's fun, too.
Oh, yeah. And now I'm not going to mention this place's name, but you went to another CrossFit box on your travels.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to mention where it is. And you said that you had some pretty...
Top three worst experiences ever.
Just like basically walked in, you had a 2-minute micro wad.
Yeah, 2 minutes. And then I was squatting 85% of my one rep max back squat for
just
5 reps.
Just on bar, boom, go for it.
Right. So I'm doing this 2-minute warm up, and then I'm like squatting 320 pounds for 5 reps. Like 5 minutes into class. I'm like, are you kidding me? No coaching. No direction. There was, you know, 50 people. Everybody was really nice and, you know, welcoming.
But just completely unorganized, a complete gong show.
Right. And so, you know, I measured a gym based on their coaching, right?
Yeah.
Because CrossFit is just constantly under attack, right? You know what I mean? So when I see a gym like that, it's like, yep, okay, yeah.
We still have a lot to go.
People get hurt here.
Yeah.
It's not CrossFit. It's the fact that they're here, that there's no direction. This guy I was squatting with had no business squatting the weight that he squatted.
Yeah.
Had no business doing the weight that he did in the Metcon. He just got throttled. His form was awful. There was, you know, it's just like, so that right there, you know, as the owner of a CrossFit gym, it's like, well, you're just giving our brand a bad name.
Yeah, and we're not only are you giving your brand a bad name, but you're like permanently hurting it.
Right.
Because if you, all those people that are in there and, you know, whatever, you said there was like 100 people in there for between the three classes that were going on. There's 100 people that are getting this impression that that's how it should be done when, you know, we know for a fact. And I've been to other boxes that hold our standard, and the way we run our place here, it's just, it's really not only disappointing at a, like, oh, you're hurting our brand, you're hurting our business, but almost like a personal level.
Absolutely.
Like, I do this well. Like, why do you get to have the same claim to, I'm a CrossFit instructor, CrossFit coach, or strength and conditioning coach, and then all you do is just kind of stand in the middle of the room and say, hey, go over there and do that.
You know? Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when you're in a big city,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
No, it should like be even better.
Like, business-wise, though, they don't care.
Oh, yeah.
They hurt somebody, they lose somebody, it doesn't matter. There's 10 more who are going to come in the next day.
It's true.
Because they live in a town of 5 million people. Yeah. You know what I mean? So...
And word doesn't get around in big cities like it does in small towns, you
absolutely
know?
Not.
In small towns, everyone knows everything that's going on.
Somebody stubs their toe in here, it's like CrossFit's dangerous. You know,
yeah,
what
exactly.
I mean? Because they, like, stub their toe on a bench.
Yeah.
It's like, no, CrossFit's not dangerous. I just accidentally stubbed my toe on the bench.
No, I'm just clumsy. That's disappointing, man, to still hear that. You know, CrossFit's been going on now for freaking 20 years as a, like, discipline, and to still have places that are recognized as, you know, good places to stop into in big cities from a very CrossFit-y location. You know, it's not like it was an unfit part of the country, and still have that kind of experience is just super disappointing.
It's disappointing. And, you know, like I said, there was a ton of people in there.
Yeah.
And they had some really good athletes who just couldn't move very well. They've just never been coached on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've also been into boxes just like that, and they've had a fair amount of athletes who move really well. And I'm always like, where did you learn to move really well like that?
Just accidentally.
You know what I mean? Like, you've clearly been coached.
Yeah.
You know, so what's going on here today? Well, with this place, it looked like nobody had ever been coached.
Yeah.
Ever.
And it could be sometimes that when you go to those bad facilities, or quote unquote bad facilities, you're getting their one poor, maybe, I don't want to say worst coach, but like you're getting their worst coach on their worst day, hopefully. Like that's right. I kind of think about it. And so maybe they have a lot of good coaching that you didn't get to see, but it's also sometimes you can just tell by like the milieu of the gym, like the atmosphere, you know,
right.
You can be like, oh, this is how you guys do it here.
This is how you do it here.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And, you know, if you're one of our members and you're dropping into a place like that, you know, you're still going to, no one can force you to do whatever you don't want to do. So you just think, be like, all right, what would Coach Cullen or Coach Ray or Coach Ben prescribe me right now?
Yeah. And if you're
what would they tell me to do?
Yeah. And if you're having trouble, and this is just sometimes, I've done this a couple of times when I was first doing CrossFit and I went to the places that I was like, well, okay, they're not telling me what to do. I don't know really what to do. Or if you don't trust the coaching necessarily, you can use your smartphone and you can like Google some stuff every once in a while and be like, okay, and get an understanding at least for maybe some more in-depth understanding of the movement. I don't always recommend that, but if you're desperate, you're like, don't ever be afraid to walk out. You know?
Right. Yeah, walk out.
Yeah.
And walk into a different box. Don't ever walk into a Globo gym.
Yeah.
There's a misconception out there that CrossFit gyms compete with each other. I don't think that's the case.
Mm-mm.
Our competition is not another CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
Our competition is Globo gym.
I agree. Yeah.
Right? If you're CrossFitting somewhere, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, still doing calf raises and toe curls and, you know, nipple flexes like or whatever, like, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you're still on a machine...
Get rid of those machines.
Yeah. Unless it's a Bowflex, then invite me over. And I'm going to be on that Bowflex.
All right. So let's move into it. That was a great opening. All right. Head of research for the Full Hip Extension podcast, the principal, has sent in some articles that we need to take a look at, going right along the lines of like goals and for 2018 and all that. So out of all the stuff that he sent in, picked out two articles that one is the, you know, really good and one is just really awful. And I think you'd be surprised to find out, you know, where they're from. So, Cullen, what do you want? You want the dessert or the veggies first?
Start with the veggies.
All right, start with the veggies. So, this is going to be what I think is just ridiculous. I mean, and we'll explain why. The top 10 fitness trends of 2018 by Men's Health.
So these are predictions, or like these are the ones?
They say these are the ones.
All right.
Or, yeah.
Their predictions.
Somewhere in the middle of that right there.
All
right.
I'll take that.
Says you're going to see them everywhere this year.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. The first one that they come out the gate with is high intensity interval training, otherwise known as HIIT.
Okay.
Yep. High intensity interval training is the fitness trend for 2018. It's going to be, it looks like 2018 is going to be sweaty. High intensity interval training session usually only lasts 30 minutes or less, but requires short bursts of, you guessed it, high intensity exercise, followed by slower paced recovery period. All right. You might sprint hard and then walk, sprint hard and then walk, blah, blah, blah. Then they say, one catch, though, fitness pros don't love recommending HIIT to their clients since it has a higher rate of injury, according to the ACSM.
Blah,
blah is right. Yeah. And I know exactly what the ACSM is talking about. I've researched this. I've read this research study multiple times. The guy in the picture is even wearing nanos and a CrossFit shirt. It's absolutely embarrassing. They are directly saying that CrossFit is going to be popular, but it's not worth your time. They've said that in multiple studies, and they have had to retract that study in federal court because it was proved that they were lying in their studies.
Yeah.
The ACSM.
I think it's crazy, though, that they just – when somebody writes something like this, like this is the most effective way to do something, but we don't want you to do it because you're most likely going to get hurt. I read that as – here's the best way. You're too stupid to get it right.
Right.
Or we don't want to spend the time and the energy working on perfect form to take the most advantage of the best possible way. So let's prescribe you something that's suboptimal and easier to learn, and we don't have to work as hard.
Right.
That's what it sounds like to me.
That's what it sounds like to me as well. All right. Number two fitness trend, group training.
Okay, so are they just describing CrossFit without?
Yep, that is exactly right. Okay, that's exactly right. They said that fitness classes have been around forever, but they're making their mark this year. ACSM defines group training as a workout of five or more people led by an instructor.
So what's four people?
It's an individual class,
dude. Individual class. All right, I'm going to start charging every class that we have four people or less individual rights.
Possibilities are endless. Boot camp, boxing, cycling, and rowing would all make the cut. I feel like I've seen that before.
I think I've seen all of those in one discipline, really.
So I think this is just ridiculous.
That'd be great if the next thing was like cross training.
Right. All right. Now, and this is ridiculous because of what it is. Wearable technology. Our obsession with data continues this year. Wearable tech, GPS tracking, smart eyeglasses. From the ACSM, what? You're going to work out with smart eyeglasses?
What is it? What are they going to do? What are they doing for you?
I don't know.
Counting your reps?
I don't know. It makes my head spin. I don't know.
Smart eyeglasses.
Activity trackers? What the fuck?
Like a Fitbit.
What the fuck is an activity tracker?
Like a Fitbit.
Okay.
Here's what I don't understand. Okay.
Okay.
Why are people so obsessed with like tracking the amount of work they're going to do anyway? So when people go, oh, I can't remember if I got 14 reps or 17 reps, I'm like, dude, it does not matter. Your body knows how many reps you did, and you did that many reps. Okay, like I burned 1400 calories. Would your body have cared if it told you burned six? Like,
right.
It's right. Just numbers that you are interested in.
It's just numbers.
And but then, just come work hard.
Right. And you know what? The numbers that you're interested in shouldn't be those numbers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hey, I deadlifted 200 pounds today, or whatever. I deadlifted 200 pounds last month. This month, I deadlifted 225 pounds. Equals, I'm getting stronger.
Right.
Done. Yeah. That's all the activity tracking that you need to do.
I ran a mile this time. I ran it faster now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I did this many rounds and reps. Now I did this many rounds and reps.
I agree.
Boom. Done. All right. Body weight training. People have been using their own body weight for centuries as a form of resistance training. So that is two trends now, just out of the first four that have said that they've already said they've been around forever, and people have already been doing it. But for whatever reason,
it's three out of four trends that are CrossFit.
This is the trend, right? Oh. Absolutely, and it's all geared back towards CrossFit because CrossFit has been doing this for a while. Here we go. Fitness trend for 2018, strength training.
What?
Can we even call this a trend? Again, they contradict themselves.
Can we even call it? No, you can't.
Classic strength training seems to stand the test of time, the ACSM says, since it has made its way onto the list since they started doing this survey 12 years ago.
Did the ACSM just say, hey, we'll give you guys like a bunch of money if we can just put a bunch of just a nonsense, dumb, useless right. article and just say our name as much as possible.
Right. Every guy, I should say this, every guy should lift weights. First off, I think every person should lift weights, guy or girl.
They say guy?
They say guy. They say every guy should lift weights.
What are the ladies supposed to be doing?
They didn't say anything. Cleaning? They said ladies shouldn't be lifting weights.
They said women should be in the kitchen and... They said this.
They said what they said. I'm looking at it right here. Every guy should lift weights. You'll strengthen your bones, fry fat, keep your heart healthy, and build hard muscle.
I'll give them a pass.
Ladies, I would love to see you strengthen your bones, fry fat, keep your heart healthy, and build hard muscle as well.
I agree. I'll give them a pass because it is men's health. Give them a pass.
Okay. That's a good point. All right. Educated, certified, and experienced fitness professionals. I didn't realize that they weren't around before 2018.
My job is a trend? Like, I'm eventually just going to trend out of right. being important.
Wait for it. So, educated, certified, and experienced fitness professionals. Okay?
Got it.
Next, personal training.
Wait, that's the next trend?
Yes.
So, both those trends seem identical to me unless you want some schmo doing your personal training.
Yes, I don't. Yep, I don't get it. I don't know. All right, next, yoga.
Okay.
This is the year yoga is going to get popular.
Even though yoga was popular, what did we say in our last Business Insider? It was like 2014 was the year of yoga.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure yoga is probably the oldest form of exercise. It's been around forever.
They're just saying things. They're just saying things that exist.
They're just saying things that exist. All right, we're going to breeze through the rest of this nonsense. Fitness programs for older adults. Hopefully that's true.
I agree.
Hopefully that more adults or older adults start exercising.
I really love it that when we see some of the diversity and age we have in our groups here, but also like my dad. My dad didn't start doing, he was physical into his 40s, basically took 20 years off of fitness and then got back into CrossFit. And he thought for like 5 years while I was doing CrossFit, he's like, oh, I could never do that. I could never do that.
Right.
All my doctors say I can't do it. Started doing it. Now he's in the best shape of his life. Off all his medications. And so it's something that I hate it when people almost like give up. They're like, I can never do that. I'm like, you can. You have time.
Absolutely. All right. And the final fitness trend for 2018, functional fitness.
Oh my God.
Defined as using strength training to improve balance, coordination, force, power, and endurance to enhance someone's ability to perform activities of daily living, the ACSM says. Think of it this way. Lifting groceries, walking up the stairs, and moving furniture all around all require muscle.
I feel like the ACSM, really? Just like they're backing themselves into a corner where eventually they're going to be like, all right, fine, CrossFit's great. God damn it. They're right. just like, throw in the right. towel. They're like, okay, fine, do CrossFit.
The deadlift, for example, is a functional exercise because you use your entire body. Your arms, legs, and core. God, I hate that word.
Core.
I hate core. I hate that word.
Me too.
When you're picking something up, like a heavy moving box. Like a heavy moving box?
Like a heavy, not like a box that's moving, but like a box you use okay. for moving.
A moving box. Okay.
A heavy moving box. Like
when you're picking up something like a heavy moving box.
Like what the fuck's in the box, bro?
A moving box?
There's a cougar in there. I got nice. This cougar box out of here real quick.
That's ridiculous. And so it's, you know, I know they're trying to sell you on something. I just don't know what it is. But understand, according to Men's Health, functional fitness, HIIT, strength training, yoga, body weight, group training, high intensity, all that, they're all different.
Qualified trainers.
They're all different. You know what I mean?
You said, okay, I want to go to a place.
Qualified trainers and personal trainers are different.
Well, let's say I wanted to go to a place that had high intensity group classes that incorporated body weight movements and strength training with some yoga that had qualified, certified trainers. Where could I find these places? I have no idea.
I love it.
These are just the top 15 CrossFit trends. 1 through 15, all CrossFit.
All right.
That was great, man.
Time for the dessert. Self Magazine.
Okay.
I didn't know this magazine. Self Magazine. 15 must-know tips for how to get in shape in 2018.
Okay. Okay.
This is the dessert, baby. I like it.
All right.
I like Self Magazine here. Number one, focus on athletic gains rather than aesthetic gains.
Beautiful.
That's great.
Yeah.
Focus on becoming stronger and faster and all that, not worrying about what you look like.
Thank God, because I look like shit right now.
There you go. Function over form. Form will follow.
I 100% agree. Yeah, that's a great
follow
a really
function
point.
And mm-hmm. form will follow.
Yep.
Right? That's great. Write this down. Resistance training, protein, and sprints. Woo!
Yep.
How about it, that's Self good. Magazine? Promise to eat your protein first at lunch. Promise to end your cardio sessions with 3 15-second all-out bursts. Promise to do resistance training 3 times per week, even if you have to skip cardio to honor that.
That's good.
Boom.
Yeah, that's really good.
Stop comparing yourself to others.
Excellent.
That's great. Find a workout you love. You'll be more likely to keep at it. So that's like that nonsense that was sent in by the ACSM the other week, but it's still good to bring up in a top 15 things to think about. Like when you throw that into all the other good stuff, like it makes sense. When you just say that randomly, you're like, no shit.
Yeah. I think they're like saying, here's all the nuts and bolts of a good workout. Find something that fits those nuts and bolts that you love to do.
Right. Absolutely. Don't give up if you're not seeing results. There's always going to be plateaus, peaks, and valleys. Don't get discouraged.
Again, if you love what you're doing, man, you're just going to keep, you're going to get after whether you like it or not. I mean, whether you are getting results or not.
Think of strength training as your main dish and cardio as your side. Woo!
That's awesome. That's pretty incredible that the train of thought is rotating that much now.
Yeah.
When I was young, man, it was just like run 50 miles and do a bunch of bicep curls.
It's great. All right. Grab a pen. Now, write down what you want to get rid of and burn it. Then write what you want to cultivate and put it somewhere where you can see it every day.
That's awesome.
That's great. Hmm. So not like I want to lose fat or I want to stop smoking. It's like I want to become, you know, healthier or whatever. You know what I mean? Like you're being more positive with your goals, not being negative. I want to quit this. I want to quit that. I want to stop doing this. Like, well, how about I start doing this instead?
I also think it's good to have like physical embodiment of thoughts. So when you have a thought like, oh, I want to deadlift 500 pounds. If you wrote the number 500 on a piece of paper and stuck it to your mirror and every morning you saw that 500, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to do something about it today. But if you just have that thought in your head, it'll kind of get lost. So I like that, like making physical of things you want to get done.
Absolutely. Set goals that you know you can accomplish even when life gets hard. Okay, so we all know, like, so many goals go out the wayside because people are blaming their everyday lives.
Yep.
Well, then set something that you know, regardless, right, that you know you're going to be able to hit.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm going to be here 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So eating right can get difficult. Like, mm-hmm. I have to prep all my food. So I have to make it a point to make sure that my breakfast is perfect every day.
And doing that, like, one meal or, like, 10-minute thing a day, I think – a lot of people get caught up in like, oh, I need to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And just like pick one, take 10 minutes out of your day when you make that like that goal fit into that 10 minutes and then build on it if you can keep that consistent.
Absolutely.
If you can do that for a month, okay, make it 20 minutes or whatever you need to do, you know.
Absolutely. Make action-oriented resolutions, not open-ended ones. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yep.
That's great. Set goals that you genuinely care about, not goals that you think you should care about. Man, I can imply that to myself. Like, there's so many things that, like, I'm like, okay, cool. I really want to become, I don't know, like, I want to, fuck, maybe I can't apply it to myself.
I can think of things that I I call them ego goals and then like true goals.
Right.
Like I have ego goals, which are goals for other people, really.
Yeah.
And then I have true goals, which are like things that would make me happier and feel accomplished. And some like ego goals are like, oh, you know, I want to have a 12 pack or something like that. Like, am I right. really going to be that much happier? That. Or like,
right. Exactly. No. No. All right. That's great. If you hate something, don't do it, obviously. Choose one very specific goal instead of something big and generic.
Wait, can we go back? Sorry. If you hate something, don't do it.
Yep.
But you don't hate things because they're just hard. Like, don't just blanketly hate stuff because it's hard.
Absolutely.
Pressure and things being hard is very, very important. So if you're starting to get to a point where you're like, this sucks, evaluate whether you hate it or you're just being weak.
Cool. Let's breeze through the rest of these. Okay, we said that. Always warm up before a workout. Agreed.
I would say yes. And just figure out what works out for what right. works for you. Some people like hour long workouts, some people like 60-second long workout.
Yeah, I didn't know that was an issue. I feel like everybody, regardless, would knows to warm up before.
I don't think so. Yeah. I've met some people that just like
just hop right into it.
Get right into
it. Like a 2-minute warm up and then you're squatting 85% of your
exactly.
Yep. I don't agree with this. And learn to love foam rolling. It helps relieve tightness. That's not true. All of the above, be good to yourself.
Yep, that's good. I think being easier on yourself some days and giving yourself a little bit of wiggle room is good, but being good to yourself doesn't necessarily being soft on yourself.
Like, oh, yeah.
Keep hold a high standard, but understand when you break that standard, like you're human.
Right.
Yeah.
So for those of you out there who like, you know, have a guilty pleasure of Men's Health magazine, maybe you want to start picking up Self.
Yeah, take the Men's Health, burn it.
Burn that shit, and then go cultivate a Self magazine, because they actually said some pretty cool stuff in there. Some really, really relevant stuff that I've actually never really heard come out of any other community other than CrossFit.
Yeah, I like that. I think they did a really good job, especially boiling it down to very simple, understandable points, as opposed to making it some a big, long, drawn-out thing.
Absolutely.
Men's Health, I'm disappointed. So I was just going to touch on this before we actually move on to, our last segment of the day, but, Coach Ray got me hooked onto this thing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That took me down a deep Wikipedia hole. If you guys are interested in this, or let me put it this way, we talked about on a couple of shirtless at the dinner tables ago, what movie you'd like to live in terms of the plot. And one of the movies we talked about was National Treasure. And so National Treasure has like this like series of clues and things you have to go down to figure out this ultimate treasure, blah, 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 blah. You guys have probably seen the movie. Well, there's this guy apparently that Coach Ray hooked me up with or told me about called Forrest Finn. And I'm probably the last on the train to understand who this dude was. But he wrote this poem, and this poem inside of it has all these clues that eventually lead to you to finding physical treasure somewhere in the Rocky Mountains of North America. And I was like so deep down this rabbit hole of almost too deep. I started adding if A is the first letter in the alphabet and B is the second letter, I started assigning numerical values to all the letters inside of this poem and trying to see if there's like some sort of pattern inside the numbers. But anyway, so what I would actually love to do is get a full hip extension podcast effort behind trying to decipher and find this treasure. And then we can split it amongst all the listeners to the full hip extension podcast. So if you guys like fun things like that, deciphering clues and trying to find out where treasure's buried in the Rockies, look up Forrest Finn and his crazy poem and email some clues or ideas you have, and maybe we can all become bajillionaires.
That'd be awesome.
I'm still fascinated.
I want to really go for it, though.
I'm serious. Like this right. why I'm putting it on the podcast. I hope right now you're sitting at your desk and you go onto Google and you look this up and you start working on it, and then we all do it together. We'll go out there and we'll find it together. Boom.
Boom.
So guys, normally we'd now roll into shirtless at the dinner table, but me and Ray kind of discussed pre-podcast that we think right now we've said kind of what we need to say in terms of what shirtless at the dinner table was originally brought up for, you know, kind of finding that fire inside yourself or self-help for men. So we'll come back to it eventually. But
yeah, as things come up, we'll address them.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about it every segment and force something that maybe isn't necessarily even there.
Yeah, we felt like the past few segments just kind of been a little forced, and we're going to come back to it when we really feel like we want to address something and have something good to talk about it. So we are, now that the Open is merely 47 days away,
boom,
as we start getting closer to Open for our podcast, we're going to talk about Open prep, just Open stuff.
Oh, yeah. Open prep. So Open's coming. All right. We can prepare ourselves. I mean, the hay's already in the barn at this point, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have, you know, roughly 5 weeks left. So you can get in fair amount of conditioning shape, you know.
You can lean out.
You can lean out. You can,
if you need.
Definitely work on, you know, your cardiorespiratory endurance. You can make some pretty big improvements in that area in 5 weeks. Not so much your strength. You need to keep doing your strength so you don't lose anything over the next 5 weeks. But the hay's pretty much in the barn.
Technique, maybe a little bit.
Technique.
Yeah.
Mentally, I think, is where you can get the biggest gains from here on out.
Mm, great.
So I'm just going to go ahead and throw some stuff out there. Dumbbells are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're coming.
Oh, yeah.
They're here to stay. For all we know, barbells could be completely gone from this year's Open. I don't think that'll happen, but expect that type of shit.
Yeah, I mean, dumbbells are happening. Mm-hmm. They're going to be some sort of dumbbell work for sure.
Absolutely. The Open's going to hurt. The workouts are going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go into it and you're all bummed out about the movements that are put together and you're like, oh my God, this is so stupid. I'm only going to go out this thing at about 60%. It's still going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's still going to hurt.
Right.
You can do it half-ass and it's still going to throttle you.
Yeah.
You just look stupid. Might as well. Yeah, you're just going to look stupid. Yeah. Right? And you're not going to look like a team player. So you might as well just throttle down and get something out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a good workout. You know, people talk about Castro and he's a dick, and I don't really know where that comes from. I love Dave Castro. I think he's great. First off, the workouts that he puts out on the Open, the 5 weeks, five workouts over 5 weeks, it's always great once you look at the entire whole.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's very complimentary. It hits different pathways. It hits everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're great, and they're all devastating towards fitness. They're highly effective, highly relevant, and devastating in fitness, right?
And so they've just gotten better over the years. I mean, the only year I really can bitch about is the second year, 2012, just because I thought 7 minutes of burpees was total BS.
Yeah, pretty weak, right?
But I agree. Like Dave Casco gets on my nerves because sometimes he does. It's like Bill Belichick, or I don't know how to describe it. Like, he just does some things sometimes that annoy the crap. And I think one year he took his watch off and threw it at the camera after he was done announcing some workout. And I was like, all right. But for the most part, dude's all right.
He's great. And he holds the standard. You know what I mean?
I just loved watching him get.
But he holds the standard. So if someone's like, oh, this is stupid because of this, he's like, well, you know what? I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
This is CrossFit. This is what we do. This is how we think. And if you don't like it, tough shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's great when people hold the standard because there's so much fence sitting nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're sitting on the fence where it's like, well, it's okay for both opinions. And it's like, and I agree to that. You know what I mean? It's like, you need to, whatever, appreciate everybody's opinions or at least
respect them. Yeah.
But when you're the one who's the standard bearer and you hold the standard, that's outstanding.
It's okay in this modern society for things to be right and things to be wrong, for there to be a winner to be a loser.
Right?
And there's too many of these people well, everyone's a winner. Like, no, not everyone's a winner. Matt Frazier is way better at me than this.
Right.
Same last name, way better than me.
Me and Matt Frazier are not on the same level of CrossFit athlete. Not even in the same conversation.
He could pick anything.
Not even the same. Right. You could put together just the perfect wheelhouse workout for me that I would absolutely crush, and Matt Frazier would make me look like a fool.
And I could be fresh, creatined up, you're like right. ready to
he
rock.
He could get done with like he know, could a 31 mile race.
Yeah. All right, Matt, saddle up, and he would beat the shit out of me.
Absolutely.
And so I agree. Yeah, I really do like that about Castro. He has this no nonsense, just like this is the way it is.
I think he's great.
And suck it up.
All right. Don't overthink the open workouts.
Nope.
Don't overthink.
Don't try to game them.
It's a workout.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's a workout. Just come in, do it with everybody. You don't need your own private time. You don't need, you know, all this special setup and all that. Just come in, treat it like every other workout, and just get after it.
If you treat it
fucking go
like a Wednesday workout and just get into your zone, whatever you need to do, you're going to do way better than if you – I think the added stress of trying to make this like perfect scenario for you to do it, then you almost have built this thing in your head where if you mess up or anything goes wrong or if the expectations aren't quite what they wanted to be, now you almost have no leeway to even give yourself a break.
You right. know?
Like, oh, it was all perfect and I still suck.
Right. You built this dragon that you need to slay.
Yeah.
It's just like it stresses you out. And you're.
Whereas if you just do it during class, you're like, oh, yeah, well, I was just doing it during class, man. I had a great time, you know? Yeah, I agree. Like, don't stress out about the open. I think that a lot of people get really down in the weeds about like strategizing for the open and try to make it this, oh, if I do this amount and this amount of time and then I do this and then I go over here, I'm going to have the top score. And it's really more, I think at that point in time, kind of not really getting the whole point of doing the open. You're doing the open to test your fitness. And if you just test your fitness straight up, then you really aren't going to have this problem of, you know, like, oh, my game plan wasn't correct. Like, no, this is just where your fitness is. Yeah. So,
what do you got?
For me, in terms of open prep, I'm going to say that, first of all, don't get, if you follow Dave Castro on Instagram and you see his clues that he's going to post,
love those things.
He's already posted some. Have fun with them. Don't get too wrapped up in what the analysts say. And if you have any really good ways of actually deciphering them, you can let us know because every year they always just seem so vague to me. But those are always fun. So if you don't follow Dave Castro, the Dave Castro on Instagram, go for that for some open clues, quote unquote. And then in terms of what you should be doing now, just like Coach Ray said, like you're not going to gain any strength. We're not going to really, you know, most of the work should already be done. But make sure that you're hitting the movements that are going to be in the open. Don't wait to do chest to bars until 2 or 3 days before the open. If you don't have muscle ups, you should be practicing muscle ups right now. All those things, like, be preparing yourself for the movements and the standards that are going to be in the open. Handstand push ups have a standard. Chest to bar push up pull ups have a standard. All these things have standards. Start preparing yourself for those specific standards. So. I think that's all I'm really got to say on the open in terms of preparing for it. Just make sure that you're following Dave Castro and just get into the movements that are going to be getting ready to be doing and make sure you have those standards locked up. And if you're confused about them, ask your coaches. Well, I think that's pretty much all we got today.
I think that's it, man. Follow us on Facebook, Sober's CrossFit. Follow us on Instagram.
Yes,
email us, soberscrossfit@gmail.com. If you got any questions, comments, concerns.
Yep, download us on iTunes. Go give us 5 stars there. Stitcher, podcast app, wherever you get us at. And we, again, will hopefully be on a regularly scheduled program, so you'll see us next week. But until then, hope you guys are having a good time. This is the Full Hip Extension Podcast, and we are out!